The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, everybody. Live from Indianapolis, Brady Quinn, Pete Prisco, Ryan Wilson. I'm the draft guy, Pete. So
this is your shining moment. Your one shining moment to reach for the stars.
Fitting it's here in Indy, too. Right? I feel like they've had a number of those.
Hey, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, this is a shining moment for you because this will be the best Pick Six Podcast we've ever had because Will Brinson's not on it.
Wow. Shots fired. People hear that about that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Debo actually saved Prince's job yesterday from the podcast we did. We were talking about you and said some things you probably shouldn't have said out loud. So it's in the file.
Wow.
But Debo's back in Fort Lauderdale. So we're going to do this thing. First things first, YouTube. You know what YouTube is?
Yeah. Isn't that thing where you can watch videos on?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you like the podcast, you can subscribe, hit the notification button. So anytime we go live and we'll be doing free agency live stuff. How do you feel about these emergency podcasts, Brady?
Not a fan, but apparently our watchers, listeners are. So whatever it takes for them.
Yeah, so Brinson Breach and me will be doing a lot of those things for agency in the draft. You'll probably be part of some of those things as well.
Won't be.
And then the podcast, where you listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. And we always say leave a 5-star review if you like us. And if you hate Will Brinson, you can leave a 5-star review and then leave a comment explaining why you do it. And surprisingly, you get a lot of reaction to that.
This one, I want people to leave a comment about how much they enjoy it without him on it.
That happens probably as much as you would think it would happen.
I think it's a great strategy. Leave a 5-star review of hatred. That's really what you want to leave for Will Brinson, is what you're saying.
And the thing is, and you guys know Brinson as well as I do, like typically you don't like negative reviews. He leans into them, so he feeds off of it.
Ooh. That's good. Most competitors feed off that kind of stuff, right? Like Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, they all kind of... I mean, this is the ha-ha yuck-yuck fest, if you want to beat.
Ha-ha yuck-yuck.
So you mentioned those two names. Matthew Stafford, he's a Hall of Famer as well?
I've talked about this with Will. I'll first just disclaimer, that's not up to me.
Oh, stop.
Because he won a Super Bowl, though, he's in the conversation, depending on what he does the rest of his career. It's true.
In the conversation.
Especially with what he does the rest of his career. The people are trying to make that definitive. He's a Hall of Famer. He's not. Dude, he's not done playing.
If his career ended today.
He wouldn't be a first ballot. I can tell you that much.
He wouldn't be a Hall of Famer.
I think that's Matthew Stafford. This is Pete's. Matt Ryan or Matthew Stafford?
I mean, Matt Ryan, I think. I mean, he's been a league MVP before.
Right.
You know, bottom line is you'd probably say he's had a better career. He's just missing that Super Bowl.
Correct.
And I don't know that you necessarily blame him either if you're up 28-3 and defense can't seem to get a stop.
So I really, when you think about it, Kyle Shanahan's had a big part in whether Matt Stafford is and Ryan isn't.
Right.
Think about that, right?
Okay. All right. So we're here to talk draft. I just want to get that out there because that's Will Brinson's baby, getting Matthew Stafford to the Hall of Fame. First things first, and I'll start with Pete because I heard you talking about this earlier, Brady, and I like to tell the story back at the Senior Bowl 3 years ago. Pete went out of his way to give Drew Lock a hard time about having tiny hands, and what was his reaction? He got angry at you.
He said Dan Marino had small hands too. Really?
So far, I think
so far Drew Lock's not Dan Marino.
So far, it could change. You know, anything's possible. So Brady, Kenny Pickett, 8.5-inch hands, which is, I think it's like the first or second percentile in the wrong direction. So concerns? No. Yes.
Well, there's some concerns there, depending on how he grips an NFL ball. NFL ball is bigger than a college ball. And the other thing you'll see about an NFL ball that's very different is you have that half stripe in college, right? Over the years, that's changed. That's become very grippy. And so even the laces,
the actual
half stripe.
Yeah, it used to be slippery.
It used to be slick. It used to be paint. It's not anymore. Right. There's actually grip there. So not only if you don't wear a glove, is it more grippy in general, it's easier to break in. And it's smaller. It's not as long. It's not as girthy as an NFL ball. An NFL ball, it's just laces. There's no grip there for you. There's no stripes to add any additional grip. And if you notice, when you get those bad boys out of the box, they're red. All right. The balls you play with in the game, they become brown. There's a long process of how you go about rubbing in dirt, brushing it off,
deflating,
getting
them.
Away that sheen.
Deflating.
If you have a smaller hand, you can deflate them a little bit. You can do that.
Are there allowances for that?
There's not allowances for it, but some guys like an inflated more. There's a spectrum of where you can be. If a guy has a bigger hand, like Aaron Rodgers, he likes to be pumped up as much as humanly possible. Some guys don't have as big of hands. They'll have a little less air in it, or at the very bare minimum, you know, whatever the bottom of that spectrum is. So, you know, that's where you come into this. And it's about ball security. It's about how much of your hand can you get on the ball to protect it? All those things are important. At the end of the day, can you throw in bad weather? That's what this is about. And if you have a bigger hand, there's a thought that you can. And if you have a smaller hand, there's a thought that you can't. The reality is, you know, Kenny Pickett played in cold weather, bad weather. It wasn't an issue.
Do you ever remember watching a game where you said, oh, boy, he's having trouble throwing the
ball? Until you brought up earlier, Pete, the Senior Bowl, I don't recall a time where I thought he ever had an issue throwing the ball. And I think with a smaller hand, over time, he'll have to adapt his grip to it. And that may be what you saw at the Senior Bowl, is him adjusting his grip to what makes him feel comfortable and get the best spin off it.
Michael Vick had 8 8 5/8 sands or whatever they are, too.
So do you care?
He can throw the ball. No.
Not
I don't.
And Bray, let me ask you this though. So does the glove compensate for that enough where you shouldn't
for sure.
be an issue?
We always had a rule, because I remember when I got to Denver, I tried testing a little bit. I used to wear in Cleveland a glove of my off hand because it was so easy when you took a snap. Those things, it's like the old stick'em, and probably even more so than that. You know, back in the day, you put stick'em on their hands, help catch the ball. They are so tacky and so sticky. I'd do it because I knew I'd never fumble a snap. If that ball hit anywhere, even if it was an off snap, hit low on my hand underneath center, you'd still be able to grip it with one hand and palm that thing out. The problem is if you put on your throwing hand, once you put that glove on, you can't take it off because you'll hold on to the ball longer. It's a little tackier, right? So it changes up your release point. It changes up how it feels.
Didn't Brady throw with gloves at times?
Yeah, but again, he had to practice with it. He got to a point where he practiced with it. I tried practicing with it, and I never felt confident or comfortable enough that I was going to be okay in a game time scenario making certain throws, especially touch throws, because it takes a bunch of reps getting comfortable with that. But it definitely adds to the grip, and it definitely alleviates a smaller hand.
So, Pete, how many combines is this?
1994 was my first combine.
Were you allowed to go in? Were you ever allowed to go in as a media? You never could do that. So, for you, which one of these events, if any of them, matter? What measurements matter as you try to evaluate these guys, or does it just like the old school field
medical?
Days? But medical. You don't have any. You don't have that now.
I'm saying of the whole process, the entire process, the thing that matters to me most from here is the medical. The interviews, they're all staged. You can't get 15 minutes. You're not going to get anything out of that guy.
Just because you're trained.
Yeah, nowadays, you're going to shoot hoops with them, right?
Right.
Well, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Sirianni did it.
Yeah.
With Gardner Minshew.
Yep. No, he did it with Sam Howell.
He also did it with Gardner Minshew.
Oh, he did this
year too? Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. That was weird. Yeah.
But no, I don't think you get and the drills, everybody talks about, this number, if he's on his agility drill, says that he's going to be a good player. You know, the biggest hand size ever here, you know who it was? Jim Druckenmiller, remember him?
Oh, yeah, Virginia Tech.
He was a stiff.
Yeah.
Couldn't play a lick. Well, how does hand size do for him? Terrible. It doesn't matter.
Well, just attached to a bad arm. If it had been on the right arm, it'd be okay.
He had a big arm. Right here, you have.
Maybe the wrong brain.
I mean, you got to take the whole thing, the body of work. But in the end, what does it tell you? When you get the whole body of work, you get the medical, and hopefully those are clear. You get the interview with him. You put him on the board for a couple plays or whatever. And then you do all these stuff, these drills here. What does it tell you to do? It tells you to go back to the tape and watch the guy.
Then why are we doing the drills?
I have no idea.
Well, you're looking for a baseline comparison. And I think what this process does is if you're between two players that you have a very similar grade on, there's no medical issues, there's no character flaws that you're worried about, it helps you give you that extra data point to then maybe help make a decision, right? Hey, he's a little faster in the 40s, a little more agile. you know, you get those sorts of things to it. I think the interview process, you're downplaying it somewhat because you do have the 15-minute speed dating sessions, but you do have opportunities to speak to teams outside of that in a more informal capacity. And I know it's not as popular as it once was, now that they put everything in prime time where they're testing, but those were instances where you'd bump into a guy, you kind of talk more casually, and they'd get to know a little bit about you. And they don't feel like the need to impress or shoot hoops or do whatever other crap they're planning to do in the 15-minute meeting. They get to know who the person is, the player, a little bit with a guard down.
If you're, but okay, you bump into him, you spend an hour with him. You're going to know that person. You're going to know him as
better than not spending an hour with him. I mean, Pete, I'll put it this way. I'll never forget my first hour.
I was just
going to
say, the first time I met Brady, he was the most rigid human being I've ever met in my life. Now look at him. He's all loose.
Is Pete the best thing that happened to you?
In terms of
maybe.
You?
I mean, maybe as far as broadcasting.
I broke him down. Here's my theory. And Brady, tell me this, if you think there's any truth to this, if you can be honest in your heart of hearts. Brady Quinn has been Brady Quinn his entire life, right? Since probably like eighth or ninth grade. Pete is the first person in your life to consistently rip you, bring you down to the average man's level.
You know, I don't look at Pete in that way. Pete does a couple of things really, really well in the art of broadcasting. He will tell you exactly what he's thinking. And there's not many people who don't like sugarcoat it.
Yeah,
like
that's
Pete
true.
Will do that.
I will.
And then along with that, he's extremely animated, which is highly entertaining. Like, you could take a t-shirt with 50 different images of Pete's face and just different expressions of Pete, and you could just wear it everywhere. And it is a whole, I mean, the range of emotions Pete goes through is amazing.
I feel like you guys are giving me a tribute here almost. Did you find out some information? Did I get into the hole? Do you know something I don't know?
It's your 28th combine, is it not?
Did I get into the hole? Do you know? Did you tell
me? No, but it's your 28th combine.
You're in the Brady Quinn Hall of Fame.
I am. Yeah.
I'm looking for the see ya gift. That's one of my favorite gifts. I'll show Brady you see in a second.
See ya.
Those things, I think the other thing he does really well, he's very brief. You know, brevity is a friend of his, and he's able to say a lot with not saying much. And I think that's actually it's a higher form of intelligence, which always shocks me because it comes from Pete.
This is amazing. I'm telling you, this is like,
you know,
I'm looking for the cameras or something.
But you're right.
Because then there's Will, who it takes him an hour to say anything. And yet he claims to be really smart. And I'm like, look, Pete will say what you could say in 30 minutes in a short time frame. And I'm like, that's impressive.
No, you're right. And Pete, I always tell people all the time, because Pete exactly tells you what he's thinking, but he has always been, that feels like a tribute. He's always been great to me.
It is. Okay. Yeah. Did I get in?
And
did I get in? You know?
It's worse. Got some good news and some bad news. We love you. You're not gonna be around long. No, just kidding. What I want to ask you though, Brady, so I remember you had the PCL after the bowl game. Did you do combine or not yet?
I didn't. And the way we went about doing it was Charlie Weiss was our head coach at the time, and coming off it, and we thought it could have been a torn ACL. It tells you how far we've come with medicine, technology,
amazing,
all that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, put a Donjoy on it. We'll see how it goes.
By the way, quick interrupt. When we get the Brady Quinn operation game, that I'm actually going to order one and make one, because he's had every malady in the history of the world. We could go to Brady, his hip, his knee, his ankle. What haven't you? Finger?
I didn't tear my ACL. That's always.
But you've
thing.
Had every.
Well, had finger, my, right? my injury. I had a mallet finger. My injuries have come up like in recent days with back injuries, mallet finger, Liz Frank.
We have it all. He's had it all. So when we get the operation game, we have make it the Brady Quinn operation.
He's much handsomer than the original operation guy too.
Oh, that guy had problems, didn't he? Some issues.
He wasn't doing well.
I don't even know what the original question was.
I wanted to ask you
about your combine when you were here.
Oh, so I tore my PCL, and truth be told, what we tried to do was put our pro day close enough in proximity to Indianapolis so teams could come right from Indy up to South Bend, which it's not a hard commute, hard trip. The hard part about it is you kind of forget, like, teams are here for a week and they're, you know, especially in those days, getting after a little bit more. And it's a long time to be away. You almost want like a break for a few weeks before you come back. So we ended up literally scheduling two pro days. And it was basically around the fact that I wasn't going to be able to test or do anything. I was just going to throw. And that was all to try to hide a PCL injury that I had. And I didn't feel comfortable testing at that time. Not that it mattered, but I still wanted to. And so that was why I ended up throwing like a week later. Still didn't feel 100%.
Did team doctors know during combine we could buy the PCL or not?
Bro. So you go, that's the one thing. Like, I tried to, like, you do all these little exercises, try to tighten up around your knee, right? You go through all, it's like eight different ones. You have four doctors apiece, and they're all looking at you. And they're all tugging on your knee and your arms, and your limbs. And they're tugging on this thing. And so finally, we get to the last one, and the guy's tugging on my knee, and it felt loose. Like, it was sore. And he looks at me and he goes, hey, we need to go to the hospital. You need to get MRIs on both knees. And I was like, all right. I was like, anything else you want to look at while I'm there? Because I knew what that meant.
That's, why both
it's a 10-hour trust.
Why both
to compare and just to check both out. I mean, literally, both knees. I have other stuff with my right knee, but
there it is. Operation
it's
game.
On the board.
It's somewhere in there, my medical history. But
all right. So let me ask you this. So the measurements are today. They're going to throw tonight. Pete, you like the guys to throw because you want to see the fire in the belly stuff. But you can hurt yourself if you're either throwing a bunch of guys you don't
know. Not in my world. Not my world. You're not hurting yourself. I want to see you throw. If you throw well, fine. If you don't, I'm not going to ping you for it. If I was a personnel guy or a scout, I just wouldn't. I go back to the tape, rewatch the tape. Now, if a guy goes out there and he looked like he was throwing, you know, good passes with velocity in college and he throws helium balloons when he's right out there, something went wrong between the time he finished the season and now. That I would go back to and try and figure out what happened. What did he do? Did he change his mechanics? What did he, you know, what's the problem? But no, as far as changing my mind on a quarterback, I'm not changing it based on what he does out here, good or bad.
Yeah. So would a healthy Brady Quinn?
I would have competed for sure. Thrown. Yeah, I would have gone to the Senior Bowl. I mean, back then I remember going to Mobile and just going there to say hi to some coaches, meet some people, because I wasn't healthy enough. So, you know, had I been healthy, things would have been fine. But literally, like, the worst thing you could imagine is going into your final game and then getting hurt. I mean, I remember leaving that thinking, like, obviously I was devastated how the game went. But, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, we knew it was going to be a tough matchup for us versus LSU that year. But then it was afterwards it kind of switched to, like, what happens now? Like, I need to go get an MRI. I need to go see Dr. Andrews, you know, see what the rehab is going to be, what that time frame is going to look like. Because I kind of had in my plan, like, how this was all going to go. I came back my senior year to make it almost like a redshirt year running an NFL offense even though I was still in college.
Were you – was that a bowl game?
Yeah, sure.
Why the hell did you play it?
Well, back then
– why'd you play it? I know.
Well, first
I'd have been a trendsetter.
I'm not going to be a trendsetter. First off, I played in it, didn't play well. I think I tore it, like, in the first quarter. Became really – I'm already immobile. I became really immobile at that point.
You're in 740
straight line speed, buddy. That's doesn't apply to football for a quarterback. I can move a little bit if I get ahead of steam going.
Yeah,
like my 20 to 40 was better than my 10 to 20.
All right,
long strider took me a while
start
to get
farther
going
back.
Exactly.
Get a running start for your 40.
I remember my pro day when I did come back to test, like the third step, because I was always a guy, no one taught me to run, and like I would always grab, like you. Some guys naturally run like that, where they stride out in front of themselves and they pull with their hamstring. Right. It's not how you're supposed to run. Right. You're supposed to be always kind of pushing back down and cycling through.
Oh, I know that.
And I literally, in my third step, I remember like kind of tweaking my hamstring. So obviously you pop right up then. And I was just like, oh, I'm just going to run like hell to get down through this thing. And hopefully I'm done for the day.
But you could have been a trendsetter, Brady.
No.
First guy ever to sit out the bowl game.
Okay.
Brady Quinn.
He got hurt.
But that's one of the differences, though, between like when you look at Matt Corral, who did get hurt, and Kenny Pickett, who didn't play. Like, I respect the hell out of Matt Corral for doing that. And I know you feel like that wasn't going to affect my draft stock one way or another. I don't think it didn't for Tua. I think there's other examples of that. The fire in the belly was what, you know, Pete was upset about.
Okay. You give Matt Corral credit for playing.
Yeah.
And he got hurt. So who's the smarter guy? Pickett, who didn't get hurt. Or Corral for playing.
But aren't we're at the point now where it doesn't...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you play or not. It's your decision. I respect your decision, but don't ping a guy for not playing either.
Yeah, but when Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette first did it, you were probably anti against it.
No. I was always against guys not playing those meaningless bowl games.
Oh, okay.
They're exhibition games.
I've said this to you guys for the entire year. Like, I've always been a big Kenny Pickett fan. The way he's played this year, the jump he took, all that.
You were one of the first... I'll give you credit. You were one of the first guys on Kenny Pickett.
And what bothers me, though, is it's a quarterback. Like, let's be real. The chance of injury for me or Matt Corral and all that, it's kind of slim.
And yet you both got hurt in your bowl game.
Right, because it's life.
Crap happens.
No.
They don't mean anything.
For a quarterback, you can play. And he can, and best, especially versus that defense in Michigan State, which was the worst pass defense in the entire country this year.
Still.
He could have lit it up. And he could have finished on that sort of high note where there is no doubt about his ability. But again,
until they got here and they measured his hands.
He could have pointed back to that Sugar Bowl and said, yeah, but how about that? How about them apples?
I mean, I always go back to way back in the day, speaking of how a bowl game probably doesn't mean anything in terms of evaluation, and it didn't at this time. Tom Brady played one of the greatest bowl games I've ever seen against Michigan. I mean, against Alabama. Alabama was winning that game the entire game. He brought him back in the fourth quarter, and then in overtime he won. And he was throwing to a wide receiver named David Terrell.
Yeah.
And David Terrell, everybody thought it was David Terrell. And he was a first-round pick the next year because he was only junior that year. But it was Tom Brady. It wasn't David Terrell. And the entire league missed on it. Missed him.
But that's not his fault for Tom Brady playing the game.
No. Actually, he had to play the game. He was a nobody.
Well, he battled with Henson, and he eventually ended up
getting his turn. He was a nobody at the time.
All right, let's take a break. Come back, and we'll actually talk about the quarterbacks, none of which Pete likes. And I'm going to...
No, it's not that I don't like them. I don't love them.
We'll
you
find
love
out
them?
After
you
the
love
break.
Them, too?
We'll find out after break, Pete.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. So you won't believe this, knowing Pete, knowing me, but of the course of the week, we've had the offensive line, the running backs, the quarterbacks, wide receivers come through, and I love them all equally. Like, I was so happy to sit next to them. And of course, like you said, Pete would have been honest with them right to their face.
Right.
And I'm just like professional PR guy, and because I love people, Pete. So with that in mind, let's talk about the quarterbacks.
On the other side of that, I don't like people that much, so it works.
Here that we is are. True. Yeah. That's true in both cases.
But I'm going to start with Brady because I have a sense of how you feel about a lot of these guys. And I'm going to start with – we mentioned Kenny Pickett a moment ago, but I'm going to go to Malik Willis because here's – I do the math problem for – this is how I think about it. So if there's a 25% chance you're getting not Josh Allen, but perhaps 80% to Josh Allen, 75%, he's the first – you have to take him in the first round. Now, the question becomes, how do you get there? He's not 6'5". Pete doesn't like him as much as a runner as – who are we comparing him to as a runner? Jalen – he thinks Jalen Hurts is a better runner. I think Malik has a chance to be a better runner. His arm is fantastic.
Who do you think is a better runner?
No, I like that comparison. I think they're – I think Hurts is probably a better runner, but that's also because I've now seen him in the NFL and I've seen him in
he's
college.
He's more of a glider, times. I think, than Willis is.
I think they're both more on that side than, I mean, no one's Kyler Murray,
no.
Which
right.
When he came out, I mean, he's just different.
They're
altogether.
Not Lamar.
No one's Lamar. And so I think what you're talking about is a capable runner, the Russell Wilsons, the, Jalen Hurts, guys who are athletic enough to rush for 500 plus yards a year. And then also have 5 rushing touchdowns, whatever. I mean, people act like it doesn't matter. It matters, right? To a defense, because on third down, if you're, converting 50% of your third downs and, two or a game are converted on you with your legs. Like Alex Smith, that was one of those sneaky stats about Alex Smith. He was so good about taking off just a couple few times a game to pick up a first down. And it was one of the more underrated qualities that he had as a quarterback. Like people wouldn't talk about it, but that's what made him a guy who started and played the league for a long time.
Mahomes does it.
Mahomes will do it at times. I mean, honestly,
Allen does it all.
Well, Allen's different. I mean, he's a legitimate runner.
Right.
Right. Like as big as an athlete.
Well, they call run plays for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you can do that from Malik Willis from time to time, but he's not Josh Allen's size. I don't think he's going to have Josh Allen's durability running the way Josh Allen does.
How big is Malik Willis?
The measurements he came in today at the combine, 6 foot even and a half inch, 219. 31 and a quarter inch arms. I don't know.
I don't care about that.
No, and I don't care about
219. Nine
problem. And a half. Nine and a half.
6 foot, 219.
6 foot is little.
But other little guys, we're talking about Kyler.
And he can't see.
The difference with Kyler is Kyler, you can't touch him in space. He's just so quick. He's a defender's worst nightmare because he's going to put you on a highlight reel and he's going to make you miss and he'll get down and you never even touch him. You know, not many of these quarterbacks have that sort of quality to make someone juke and move like that. I would look at Malik like this, and we talked about it earlier. He's got upside because he's got a strong arm. He's got that athletic ability, but he runs an offense that when you watch it on tape, there's no timing elements to it.
Yeah.
There's RPOs involved in that, which is becoming more prevalent in the NFL, but not, it will never be widespread. It can't be because of the rules.
Right.
When you can only have an eligible lineman downfield a yard, it's not enough. In college, it's three.
Right.
And when you get officials at that level, it's like, it looks like four or five from here, it's hard to tell.
It's like a screen pass.
They can hold it on and go through a progression. In the NFL, you almost have to have like an outside zone play in to then allow your line to stretch and not climb to the next level or climb to like a backside backer. And so the play almost has to be a certain type of play in order to have a downfield pass
like progression. It looks like a wide zone play and you pull it and throw it to the other
side.
Exactly. Right.
You know, to have a downfield throw or any sort of like defender read play where if you choose this guy, you go that guy, that sort of thing. So there's not enough elements of that. And I don't think you can put in enough to make him feel that comfortable day one or in his rookie year. So I think his transition is going to be more understanding how to read defenses, especially in the NFL level, because that flips. I've talked about this all the time. You look at the hash marks on the field, right? NFL, they're more narrow.
Right.
So it's flipped in your mind. In college, you see a safety towards a hash, split safety. So you have these middle field open, middle field closed, or one high, two high reads. Well, in the NFL, you see a safety towards a hash. You're saying, oh, it's post-high safety. So all that little stuff, you don't think it matters. When you have to make a decision in 2.5, 3 seconds, it matters.
Right.
Because you're being trained to do it a different way your whole entire career. And you get a variety of coverages, combo coverages, all these things. So he's going to have to learn how to read defenses more. He's going to have to learn how to play within a sense of timing and rhythm, get ready to the football. And that's your concern is like, where's his learning curve? But it also makes him a candidate where you want to at least draft him in the back end of the first if he doesn't go higher. Because you want to have that fifth year option where you can still have that growth involved if he doesn't play year one.
Where do you draft? I mean, Brady Quinn's a general manager of a team, needs a quarterback in the top 15 of the first round.
How good is the offensive line? How good is the defense?
Well, that's here nor there. Are you taking it?
No, it does matter. If you're the Saints or you're the Falcons, that's a different conversation.
Well, I think it also matters.
You need a quarterback and you think he's good, you pick him.
Yeah, you pick him. But I think it also matters like who you have there and
not players.
I'm saying quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
Like you look at the situation in San Francisco with Trey Lance. Trey Lance to me is a player who kind of falls in this category. Now Trey Lance is bigger than Malik Willis, but again, you know, when you
and
look
runs
at,
runs better.
We'll see.
I would say they run him similar. I think similar, Lance is maybe. being bigger
helps him.
Yeah, and he can be more physical. But anyway, the point is, you know, they had a situation where you could draft him, let him come in, maybe have a package for him, or we like, play a little bit, and you see what he is. And that's where I think you look at like an Atlanta Falcons that might make some sense for them because they have Matt Ryan still under contract for another year, or any other team where you're not so sure. You know?
But like Pittsburgh, you're the Steelers. Would you take Willis?
Well, again, Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert. Didn't they say Mason Rudolph would be the guy?
Well, Tomlin's also said he likes mobile quarterbacks.
Right. Well, and Trapasso told me that too. He thought Mason Rudolph was going to be the guy.
What about Washington?
Washington's a place where he'll immediately be the starter.
Right. So it can't work.
I'm not saying it can't work, but
Heineke's they want to.
They don't want to play him.
No. I mean, you watched the guy, didn't you? He's just a guy.
I saw worse quarterbacks last year.
She tells you the state of quarterback in the National Football
League. No, that's true.
I would say this much. I hope whatever team does draft him, if they intend to like play him his rookie year, which we usually see now, first round quarterbacks, they're playing right away. Let him be the guy day one. With this whole like, hey, let's like try to, you know, bring him along
find out who he is.
Make him the guy.
You didn't play. That was the Derek Anderson year.
I didn't play until 17th game or 17th week. So very end, we play in San Francisco. Brian Young's last game, which was, by the way, so cool. Like playing against a guy who's now in the Hall of Fame, and he should be. But
you were a 4-year guy at Notre Dame. You came back. You were more. I think you're probably more ready than Malik is coming out.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, did you want to play?
I wish I would have. Yeah.
It would have made 100%. You better.
Well, one of the biggest. I mean, I felt so prepared with everything. One of the things I hated about what we did in our offense was, you know, we didn't have. The quarterback control all the calls as far as protection, run blocking schemes, as far as setting the protections. And we did that in college. And it was much easier in my mind when you get in a loud environment to be back in shotgun and know exactly who your problems are, as opposed to having your center do it. And then you're like, all right, I might see something different than he sees, or he might be more concerned about this and I'm seeing this. And so I'd rather throw this route and have this guy come free if that's the pressure they're going to bring, or if that's who we're going to have coming free, I'd rather throw that side.
Look, and you know this, I told you this, and you would agree with me 100%. Every quarterback I've ever talked to said they learn more from their first three games playing than if they sat an entire year.
Yep. Yep.
And so you want them to play. Find out what you have.
Yeah.
Everybody always goes, well, what happens if you mess with his psyche? Well, if you mess with his psyche.
No, but that's real, because the hard thing is nowadays organizations, they don't withstand the public pressure and the outside opinions of people, and they start to listen to it. And so then as an organization, if you don't support him knowing that he's going to go through some growing pains, then it becomes, you feel like you're isolated and it's, you're like, all right, they're just going to move on after a year. It's a tough position to be in, I think, for any player in that position. So that's my reservation with, if they're not going to support him, that's going to be like, all right, let's yank the kid out of there.
I'm a big believer, play him right away and find out what you got. And if 3 years later, you're going to have to go back into the pool if he's not the right guy.
Okay. Yeah, but okay, the right guy. But listen to what he just said. 3 years later.
Right.
So he's giving you 3 years to see what you have.
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about. You have to have organizational support if you're going to make that decision.
Hey, 100% I agree. It's got to be 3 years.
All right, Pete, which quarterback you want to talk about next? I'll let you lead the conversation on who's your guy?
Carson Strong. Go ahead, Sam.
You want to talk Carson?
I like Carson Strong a lot, and I really liked him a lot during the season when I watched him.
I agree. So 6'3".
He kind of popped out to me.
6'3" today, 226.
I thought he was bigger than that.
He looked a little taller. Nine and an eighth inch hands. So concerns are – medical.
It's not small a small hand for
it's
that.
Not a big, it's not a big hand. No, the medical is the thing for him. And you hear that there's a lot of concern about the knee, not just for the now, for the future.
He was on. I talked with him, and he could not have been more forthcoming. It was weird how forthcoming he was about the state of the knee and where it was. And he had the procedure before the season in August. He had another one in February, and I remember Scout telling me back in September. He said he can't throw his lower half, and then he texted me back in early November or whenever, late October, and said he's actually doing better. Carson confirmed as much and that he felt better, but where are you? Like, hey,
let's put it this way. 20 years ago, if the knee were healthy, he'd be the top quarterback in his draft.
Because I asked him, I said, you're a traditional pocket passer.
But he can't move. And so everybody wants – and part of the reason guys have to be able to move is because the offensive lines are so bad in this league now. And it's almost become a product of that. Right. That and look, I've come all the way around on this. I think you have to be able to move. You have to.
He can move inside the pocket. Is that good enough?
I don't see that.
It inside the pocket either.
Well, he can't hurt this year.
I know, but even then, like, there's, you know, you see other guys who play hurt or hurt, and they have a little more sense of movement in the pocket.
Okay.
I don't see him having that same sense. Now, granted, it could be when you sit in shotgun all day, you don't have as great of a feel for the pocket because you're constantly back so far where you feel like you can escape one way or another instead of stepping up. When you drop back, sometimes as you're dropping back, you realize, and this guy's going to a point behind you, I can put my foot in the ground now and step up. So a lot of times guys that play under center a little bit more, they have a little better feel for a pocket and then how that feeling of timing and rhythm should work than guys just sit in shotgun a lot, which obviously he did.
But so he would be the
I don't disagree. We talk about the summer.
Nowadays.
Over the summer, I liked him.
Yeah, with the way the offensive lines are now, you have to look for a guy who can move. Now, I'm not saying run. I'm saying move.
What about this? And, Brady, I want to hear what you say about this, too, because you mentioned Malik Willis with the lack of anticipation throws. He's the best, Carson Strong, the best anticipation thrower in this draft.
I would agree.
So that accounts for some of the lack of movement and the.
But again, with bad offense, you're playing conference now? That's a different
Mountain
name.
West, isn't it? Right?
Is it Mountain West or whatever? It's still the Mountain. But you're playing in that conference, so you don't have the elite pass rushers bearing down on you on a regular basis. What, so you get away with the bad offense.
What you're saying is, you know, where he's drafted, the team he's drafted to, is paramount to anything else. And I think that's the difference. When you look at some of these other quarterbacks who do have more mobility, you know, they don't have to have as much around them in order for them to be successful. He probably does, you know, given his skill set and probably given the health of his knee long term.
Yeah, long term, it could be a problem. That's why he's probably going to drop down to the third or fourth round.
I think you're right.
And if somebody takes him in the third round, I'll give you an example. Let's say the Broncos don't get a free agent quarterback. They could use a third or fourth round pick on a guy like Carson Strong.
No, I think
see what he can do and maybe he can develop because they have receivers around him and stuff.
I think that's going to be we'll know once we get a few weeks into free agency. You know, some of these trades that are being thrown out there and speculated about and where a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, a team might say, hey, we feel like we've seen something in him in the past. We want to give him a shot or run
at
it or Jameis.
Isn't that amazing, though?
It is absolutely amazing.
No, it is. But, like, that's the reality is if a team makes a move like that, it doesn't exclude them from making that decision. But it might be giving you the tea leaves like, hey, we're not going to go after one of these quarterbacks
Correct.
In the draft.
But you're saying that the fact that he's the number one QB, him and Jameis probably, but I think Jameis goes back
Jameis
to New Orleans.
Jameis probably going to go back to New Orleans, which will leave Trubisky as a wanted commodity on the market, which is incredible.
As a Steelers fan, I'm not even joking. I would love to have him in Pittsburgh.
Well, let's not forget, too, if Jimmy G's shoulder getting surgery in 16 weeks, however many weeks. Or they said it was 16, didn't they? So if that's the case, like, he's probably somewhere in this conversation. As John Lynch was pretty vocal about moving forward with Trey Lance, you'd think that, all right, he's not a free agent, but he's a trade commodity that you get something back in return. And you might not like him, but
you're going to have to pay him.
But like Carson Wentz, Jimmy, that's fine. But I'm saying teams are willing to shell out some money to have a guy who's serviceable, right? Especially again with this draft class where there's no one you feel overly
if
great
Jimmy
about.
If Jimmy Garoppolo had been healthy all the way.
But he can't stay healthy.
I think he'd be a perfect fit for Washington.
Okay, but here's the
ready-made team, ready to go.
But right now, what is the team? Let's say he's healthy, I don't know, in June or whatever, he gets 100%. What are you giving up? Like, you get a third-round pick or more?
Yeah, nothing more than that.
Okay. Yeah, a second round seems a little
worse. But you get what I'm saying. Like, you'd probably look at this quarterback draft class, and also you two. Would you not take Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, if he was healthy?
Carson Wentz gets that glazed look on his face.
Okay.
You know how I hate Jimmy Garoppolo. I would take Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, not for more than a third-round pick, though. But
I mean, and look, when we think Watson's going to move, we think there's a chance there's some other guys who may move. So, I mean,
Watson has to figure out his legal situation first. But if Jimmy Garoppolo, let's just say Carolina or Washington.
Ooh.
Better if you're Washington. I'm tight.
Right.
You're making the choice. Would you rather have Garoppolo or Pickett?
I mean,
that's close.
I look at it this way. I think Garoppolo gives you the best chance to succeed right away.
Correct.
And so it depends.
Pickett might have huge upside. You never know.
He could. And he's going to be cheaper, as you pointed out.
Right. Garoppolo's going to cost you a boatload of money because you're going to have to pay him. He's making 25. You're going to have to pay him at least that.
That's the other thing. And it's only 1 year left.
But look at everybody. Look at the Ryan Tannehills of the world. They make that money.
Well, he's a great example of someone who left a bad situation and got a lot better.
But is he good?
But he has a running game.
The people in Tennessee want him out.
But the last three, however long it's been there, he's pretty good.
Oh, he's a winner, but the team wins.
Right.
Look, they're all in the same pool, those guys.
Right.
There's a bunch of them all in the same pool.
Five guys and everybody else.
Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo and Mac Jones will be in that pool.
Stop it.
He will be.
The best way I've heard to explain, there's great players, there's good players, there's players who have good moments. All right, it's the NFL. Everyone's good. It's just there's some degree of that.
Correct.
You're talking about the greats, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, there's those guys.
Josh Allen
or Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You keep saying that. We need him to do a little
Joe
more.
Joe Burrow will be in it.
Joe Burrow will be there.
Herbert.
The five guys you picked to win 10 Super Bowls in the next 3 years.
That's right.
They're all in there.
And then I think you look in the next category, there's good players. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a guy who's had good moments.
Davis Mills.
He's a good quarterback. He's not there yet. But
no pressure last year.
No, but you know what, though? He did some really good things last year.
But here's the thing. You're talking about Mac Jones, and you know, I like him a lot. But the difference in Mac Jones and Davis Mills is that at the end of the year, Davis Mills was out there, and he did play well. But there's no pressure. He could throw five interceptions. He's still going to go out there the next week.
Yeah, the flip side is that you're playing behind a really good offensive line in New England, and you're not throwing the
ball three times
a game. I would challenge that the wide receiver group, though, is equally as good, if not better, in Houston than what you had in New England. Yeah, Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is one of the most underrated wide receivers for his entire career.
I agree, but he also missed time last year, and they have Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. And
those are tight ends. I said wide receivers. You're talking about the group.
They didn't do as well as they should have, I think.
Are they worth what they got picked up for in free agency?
Do you think the group around Davis Mills last year,
the entire group,
offensive line, receivers, tight ends?
I'm not going to say the offensive line. Okay. I don't look at them that way either. See, you just want to be right. So you want to say, I said group. I didn't say group.
No,
I said wide receivers.
I want to be right about Davis Mills because that was one of my guys.
I know you do. And so far, it looks good. Yeah.
I think you've said this, and you're exactly right. If Davis Mills had come out this year, he'd be the first guy taken.
I agree.
He says that. I don't know that he played enough to make me feel overly confident that I'd pick him over.
In that scenario, he would. Let's just say he had gone back. He would have been one or two. Right.
Yeah.
Sure. But I'm saying he would have been one or two. And
Davis Mills or Malik Willis?
Davis Mills.
Yeah.
All right, let's get through these because Pete has other engagements that doesn't involve this company because that's what he does when he comes to the combine, according to Jamie Eisenberg. So I don't know if that's true.
It's amazing.
So I'll start with you, Brady, because I want to hear what Pete has to say. Yesterday, Desmond Ridder was on set, and I never just – that dude has an edge.
For sure. Everyone saw when he was playing Notre Dame.
Everyone's here. I was talking to him. I said, you took a ton of hits in that game, and the toughness was incredible. Made some great throws. He made some suspect throws in that game, too, especially early on. But here's the thing. Here are the stats, Pete. He had
how big was he?
6'3", 211. He looks about 211.
Yeah. Slight of frame,
but tennis hands. So got big hands. But he's the edge.
Druckenmiller Miller big though.
No, he's smarter than Druckenmiller sounds like. But the edge with which he comes off, just sitting and have a conversation with him. I was like pumped up. But the thing for me is accuracy and arm strength.
Yeah.
Everything else is you love about him. He's played 50 plus games. He's done. He's a leader and all the other things.
He's Kellen Mond. Like, that's who he reminds me of. As far as a guy who I think he's got good size for this draft class. He's got good athleticism. He's got a ton of experience. But there's nothing that makes you feel from watching the tape, watching him throw the football, that he's going to be able to take that huge kind of leap. That's kind of how I see him in this draft class, where I don't know where he'll end up going.
I think he's better than Kellen Mond.
No, and I think he's probably a more fluid runner.
Yeah.
I think he's got more of an edge as opposed to Kellen Mond. I think he plays the game with a little more fluidity, as far as like Mond felt so rigid and felt so stiff.
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
He plays different than that, but there's still like the things that you worried about with Mond were, you know, could he accurately make consistent field throws downfield? And you don't see that with Desmond.
You know me, and this, he doesn't fit my quarterback ideal.
Well, let me start with this.
Hey, tell him what he's got.
Let's start with him.
Hey, what does he got though?
A ton of fire in the belly.
Yeah. The more I watch him, I know he's had accuracy issues and everything, but there's, for that style of quarterback, I happen to like him more.
But how does that translate? Like,
he doesn't have the dynamic running ability to make up for what he lacks in passing.
What about, I'm not concern. Even joking. What about that edge? I was like, oh my God, this guy is for real. How does that translate into an NFL locker room in terms of being like a alpha leader? Does that matter?
It doesn't matter. As long as you play
pretty good. If you're good, you're good.
If you're good, you're good. Like, honestly, like, you can be the weirdest dude, but if you're good, no one cares.
And by the way,
they'll accept you for who you are if you're good.
Tom Brady was a great leader, but if he had been a six-round bust, he would have been an awful leader.
All right. Okay. So where you like him more based on the way he plays?
I don't love him. Like, I don't love
him. Is he an NFL starter? Like, he's a guy 3 years from now that's.
He can be.
Well, how do you get over the arm strength and accuracy issues, Mike? How do you fix that after being 50 plus games?
I don't think his arm strength is that bad. You're making him out to be like he's not Andy Warfel.
No, I think he can make all the throws.
Yeah.
They all can make all the throws, but if you're lining him up with this
but
group,
I mean, in this class, who has the best arms? Strong?
Malik, Strong does.
Well, Malik. Malik's legs, there. His legs work.
I think Sam Howell's got a good arm.
Yeah. Sam Howell's got a good arm.
But
Sam Howell has a terrible feel for the pocket, though.
Let's say
it happens when your pocket's breaking down all the time.
Yeah, let's say he has a great arm, then. The accuracy issues after 50-plus games, how is that going to magically fix itself? And the footwork is a huge concern,
Josh
too.
Josh Allen had bad accuracy issues at Wyoming. He was terrible at Wyoming.
Great arm.
I disagree with that. And then, look, he had as you would say, with bouncers and bartenders who are catching passes for him. I saw more drops on that than anywhere else. No, and by the way, go back and look at his. I don't care what the book was. I'm telling you my opinion of it. Go back and look at his first 2 years to play in Buffalo. His receivers were usually somewhere in the top five, top 10 drops.
Right.
Every time.
I agree.
I mean, that's what happens. You've got a really strong arm like that. You're going to have guys who drop some passes.
I mean, when you put the tape on a Josh Allen in college, the ball's doinking off their helmets.
I mean, go back and watch the Iowa game when they played in that year.
Yeah, I remember.
Literally, he threw a touchdown pass on a deep post, doinked right off the guy's face mask. Vividly remember that. And you know what the other thing is? He had to throw balls away sometimes because he had lack of protection.
I agree.
And no one ever looks at that and goes, oh, okay, well, maybe it wasn't that. They just look at his completion percentage. Oh, it was low.
You're
he was inaccurate.
To the choir.
I'm talking to Ryan here, too.
Okay.
Right. No, he's a part of the conversation.
Pete is Stockholm syndrome me onto Josh Allen, so I don't have a choice but to love
him. You stayed off him for a couple years.
No, I wasn't doing the draft then. That's going to be my.
The timing worked out well for you, Ryan.
Right. Yeah. True that. No, Pete was right. But Pete's right about a lot of things. He was right about Josh Palmer, who I was talking about earlier today.
Yeah.
Love
Josh Palmer.
I was couldn't have been more wrong about him. But I crushed Mac Jones. All right, so a couple more things.
Man, to be determined. There's still some thought that he faded down the stretch in New England.
No, you're right. I can't disagree with that. Yeah. All right, you got to go in a minute. So let's do 5 minutes. I'm going to talk about two more quarterbacks. I'll start with you, Pete, Brady, because I know Pete has some questions. But Matt Corral is my QB1. I like the way he plays. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. The offense, the size. He's 6'2". That's taller than I thought. 212, 9 5/8 inch hands.
I bet he drank as much water as humanly possible.
Pull a Chase Claypool.
To weigh 205
when he played.
I know. He had to have drank literally 8 pounds of water or something like that.
So can he come in and to a program like Washington or I don't know about Atlanta, but
what's Zach Wilson's size? Because Zach felt smaller, but about the same weight.
6'1"?
No, Zach.
Zach. Well,
no,
I don't
think
he's
not 6'4".
No.
He's probably 6'1", 6'2".
6'1".
They're about similar size, and I see them as similar players. You know, I think you go back and look at the offenses that they ran. They showcase the ability to run.
That's a one read.
It's a lot of one and done, one and run.
So let me tell you something. I talked to him on the set about this, and I spoke to him about it before, and I like the answer, so I asked it again. He had 14 interceptions 2020, only five last year, and he said it was drop eight his first year there, or two seasons ago, and he just kept forcing the ball down the field. And then last year, because, you know, Lane said be aggressive, so he was throwing interceptions down the field left and right. And last year, he took what the offense gave him, or the defense gave him. What are you grunting about?
Well, I don't think he saw that much drop eight when you're an unproven quarterback at that level. I mean, my senior year when I came back, we got a lot of drop eight, all right? We had been really good my junior year. I'd built up over time. And so, like, teams – it was a sign of respect. When they're paying P22 Tampa against you, and you've got Mike Puzlesny, who's one of the best linebackers in college football, who's dropping into Tampa too, you're going, okay, I'm going to have to check the ball down a lot, or it's going to be a little different with how I have to manipulate the defense. I don't know that he saw that much in his first year starting at Ole Miss, you know, that much drop eight. Now, maybe it was schematically because the offense that Lane runs, and teams know that it tends to give them a little more issues, and they don't want to give up big plays. But I didn't see that as much over the past 2 years watching him.
By the way, Paul Puzlesny.
What'd I say?
Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Paul. Paul.
You know, by the way, I mean,
Paul, my bad. I can't
believe if you're going to give the guy a compliment, at least get his
name. I know. Is his brother named Mike? I can't believe I said Mike.
Yeah,
Paul. I trained with Paul for a little bit. Yeah. Anyway.
Zach Wilson, 6'1". You're right.
There you go. So that's what he reminds me of. Just, you know, skill set, kind of that big year, right? That big leap.
It's a little herky-jerky for me.
What do you mean?
It's just frenetic the way he plays in the pocket. There's not a calm about it.
I would say I think he handles chaotic situations where the play breaks down well.
He's good outside the pocket.
That's probably one of his strengths.
And Zach Wilson didn't face hardly any pressure at BYU. That was sort of the knock coming out.
Right, and then what happened is rookie year.
Right.
He looked so hot. So that's a little my concern.
This year is he has a hard time seeing Zach Wilson.
Sure, because he's shorter. And
Corral's going to have
taller.
That problem.
He's going to play on the perimeter, isn't he?
Who?
Corral? Getting him out in space?
Well, that's what they started doing with Zach Wilson eventually, too.
Boot him out, get him deep drops, things so he can get back away from that. I mean, look, I'm 6'4", or 6'3", and 7'8", whether they have me at the combine. And there's times, even as tall as that.
This says 5'11".
Wait, is this Drake London again? You hear about that?
What?
Some reporter asked them. They're like, you know, you talk about being being always a big play wide receiver and all stuff. And he goes, how do you do that at 5'11"? And he was like, what?
I love it.
That's the combine. You get questions
Drake
like that.
London might end up being receiver number one, by the way.
We'll talk about that later. But there are a lot of three receivers I love: him, Traylon Burks, and Garrett Wilson. I still haven't decided who I love the best. All right, let's get you out on this, Pete, because you got to do something in a couple minutes. Talk about Sam Howell. Where are you at on him? And
I don't like the way he has a feel.
Before
for
you start, though, give me your top four, three or four quarterbacks as you're taking them off the board.
I haven't finished it yet, but if I did, I would. Right now, it would probably be Pickett one, Howell two.
He's caught my paper right now.
No, I'm not. Willis three, even though
you don't have Matt Corral at all.
Carson Strong four. He doesn't have Matt Corral that high.
No, probably Strong, and then Corral. Maybe Corral and then Strong, because he bothers me a lot.
But I'm with you on Sam Howell. Like, I think watching him this past year, he at times put that team on his back. I mean, defensively, they were awful at
times.
And then offensively, he didn't get much protection outside of Josh Downs.
Wide receivers
but he also doesn't handle the front side protection that well either when it's coming right at him, Brady.
You know, that's part of it. Some of that can be what's building their offense. I mean, I've been in an NFL offense before. They're like, oh, you have a quick answer. And it's like, wait, we don't like go protect this up, or we don't have like a hot route. No, you got a quick answer in there. Well, also the coverage isn't going to allow that to be open, right? So I don't know the specifics of his offense or what they asked him to do. I just know this. I mean, he's got the athleticism, the athletic ability. He's tough as nails.
His arm's good.
Great. He's got a really good arm. Yeah. I put him up there with Malik and Carson Strong. And I think his deep ball accuracy is pretty darn good.
He lost a ton last year.
Here's what you say, Pete. That's the situation you're going to go into at the next level. If you can't, you have two wide receivers, two running backs, both. All of those.
College is a different game, though. I mean, but when you have those two receivers and those two running backs, and they both go
put on his tape, not this past year, the year before.
That's because he had the guys there. Though?
I went back and watched a couple games last week of him just because I wanted to get a better feel for him. And I came away feeling much better about him than I initially thought I would.
Well, let me ask you this then. And Brady, I want to hear this as well. So it felt like a lot of times this season when everyone left, the offensive line was terrible. It was one read and I got to run because I'm about to get crushed. Yeah. Can you uncoach that out of him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't like that. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't like that 2 years ago.
Okay.
Look, he reminds me of Baker. Like, that's who I
think. I think he might end up being a little bit higher ceiling than Baker.
I think he's like 75%.
Well, because I think he's a better athlete. I think he can run better than he can. And I think he's a little bigger too. And we saw him last night.
Baker, when he's healthy,
he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not an elite guy, but he's good.
He's good.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we got from Indianapolis.
Any parting words for Will Brinson or no?
Yeah, what do you want to say?
No. I took enough shots today. I don't know, but he took a bunch at me yesterday.
Huh? Yeah, I was just going to say. Is he even here right now?
No, he's not.
Of course he's not.
Ouch. He's golfing.
All right, we'll be back later in the week. Pick Six Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.